This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central, and it's so good to be with you this afternoon. I'm Gareth Armstrong, and next to me, I have a very, very good-looking young lady, Luby. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to Future CEOs. How are you feeling today?
I'm good. I'm 38 years old. Yay!
38? Never, never. You're 25.
I tell you.
Well, you're looking very, very good for 37?
Eight.
Oh, eight. I'm sorry.
Thank you for wishing me well.
Well, you know, I'm very grateful for you being here with your wisdom. Why? Because in studio today we have some very wise, very interesting individuals that are coming in. So let's quickly talk about what's happening on the show. So first half hour we have, and he's returning again, and we're so grateful to have him, Dr. John DeMartini, and he's going to be talking to us about challenges and change and how to deal with this.
Change, so relevant in my year-old change.
Yeah, exactly, but then also, I mean, it's so relevant given the situation here in South Africa at the moment.
Correct.
And then in the second half hour, we're going to be talking to a founder of a business that, and he just released an article where he said, what I've learned from running about running a business, which is quite interesting. So we'll chat to him at the turn of the hour, but let's get into the show here very quickly. There are some people who've never heard the show before. Tell them what this is all about, please.
I know we believe we want to eradicate poverty, inequality, unemployment. So franchise it, be an entrepreneur, and this is a show that gives you the tools to fast grow your thoughts and ideas and your ambitions and your visions of creating your own wealth and your own legacy and your own destiny.
Yeah, are you a future CEO? And if the answer to that is yes, then this is the show for you.
Didn't you like the way I spun that?
You did. It was fantastic. Let's get over to our expert who is here in studio, because that's why people are tuning in. They want to hear him speak. John, welcome back. May I call you John?
Certainly.
I think we're so familiar with one another now that I must be allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
Well, welcome to the show.
We love having you here.
We really, really do. Why are you here back in South Africa? What are you doing at the moment?
Well, I've been blessed to be here since Thursday.
Okay.
I came in from London, and I've been doing presentations and media interviews and more presentations.
Okay.
This morning I did a presentation. I usually do a presentation at least once a day, or sometimes twice a day, sometimes every other day. But
and when you say that, you're not just talking about here. You're talking about all over the world. You're doing that.
Yeah,
right?
I was in London before that, and I was in Singapore before that, and Sydney before that, and San Francisco before that.
And today he's with us
here
live
in the Cliff Central studio on Future CEOs. We're very grateful.
Yes, thank you.
What topic is of discourse are you challenging us to kind of not be fearful of this time, Dr. DeMartini?
Well, I believe that if you look in the mirror, you want to be able to give yourself this statement: I now give myself permission to do something extraordinary on planet Earth.
You see why I like this guy.
So let's say that again. So I now give myself permission.
Give myself permission to do something extraordinary on planet Earth.
Hmm.
I always say, if you care about humanity, which deep inside all of us, there's a yearning to do, because it represents a part of us.
Mm.
If we care enough about humanity to find out what the greatest needs that humanity is facing, either locally or globally, and care enough to find a way of serving that, individually with our own skills and talents, or indirectly through brokering and helping other people provide those talents, we open up the doorway of a prosperity for ourselves, and the fulfillment that can only come from actually serving other people.
And how did I describe what Future CEO stands for in the beginning? Mm-hmm. You know, want to alleviate poverty and inequality and unemployment. That's what we try to do on the
show.
Well,
without a doubt, income inequality, the number one thing that assists that is education.
Mm.
And having a show like this and bringing entrepreneurs on and sharing principles of entrepreneurship assist, because I've been asked many times, what happens if you don't seem to be able to find a job? And I tell people that there is no such thing as a human being that can't find a job.
Okay.
Because if you are caring about humanity, you can become an entrepreneur and go serve people and find somebody to serve. All you have to do is go and ask somebody, what can I do to help you?
I guess get involved, and the opportunity will manifest itself wherever you are involved. I think that's what I hear you saying.
Exactly, because when I was nine, I had an opportunity. I went to my dad and asked him for to some money. And he said, have you done all the chores and done all the things around the place? And I said, yes. He said, well, then you're going to have to go to the neighbors, because if I don't have anything that needs to be done, I'm not going to give you money without a service.
Nice point.
And so I went to the neighbors, and I went door to door and found something I could do. Mm. Weeding, cleaning, sweeping, mowing, edging, clipping, whatever I could do. And I found that when I went door to door, instead of talking about how I was lacking, I just went out and did service. And all of a sudden, there was abundance of service. I mean, the neighborhood, all through the neighborhood, it started growing. Because if you do a quality job that you're inspired by, and you care enough to do it in a way that's professional, as my dad said, as long as you're willing to give people more than what they expect, you'll never worry about business in your life.
Very nice.
And there's no limit on what you can do, because there's no limit on the service you can provide. So there's no limit on the income. And it really doesn't matter where you're starting. It just matters starting. Just caring enough to go out and try to make a difference.
No, well, thank you for sharing. And within that statement that you've just made, there are a number of different very important points that all entrepreneurs who are listening must take into consideration, and also those who have established their businesses. Please go back, listen to this again. Make sure you get the podcast, re-listen and just dwell on it a little bit. Let's just quickly bring this into the South African context. So you're traveling the world. I don't know how familiar you are with what is happening here currently, but there are some big commotions, some big challenges, and perhaps a lot of negativity comes along with that. What would you say to those people who are listening and hearing this and connecting with what you're saying, but the challenges seem overwhelming? They want to do something. They want to do something great, as you've said, but the challenges seem bigger than the energy that they have.
Well, as William James and other psychologists have said, it's never what happens to us, it's how we perceive it, what we decide to do with it, and how we act upon it.
Okay.
So crisis and challenge is really blessing and opportunity if you turn it inside out.
Mm.
And so you want to always ask, how can I take this crisis and turn it into a great opportunity? How is it on the way, not in the way?
Mm.
And I always say that if you fill your day, ask yourself every day. It's a great question that I learned from Mary Kay Cosmetics many years ago when I lectured for her group. Every day, ask yourself, what are the highest priority action steps you can do? And you could do either three of them, no more than seven of them. The highest priority action steps you can do today that can help you move one step closer toward your dream of serving people.
Mm.
And if you write those six or seven things or five things down or three things down every day, and make sure that the highest priority you can imagine in your mind, and then go and act on those. Every time you're working on high priority things, you grow your self-worth. And every time you do, you want to make sure that you're doing the highest priority action that produces the greatest results with the least amount of effort.
Mm.
It was Bill Gates. If you look at his foundation, his mission statement for his foundation is, how can I do the greatest service to humanity in the most efficient way with the resources that I have? That's a great principle. And if you go and take care of it and fill your day with high priority actions that inspire you, it doesn't fill up with low priority distractions. It don't.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's easy to say no to things that are less meaningful because you're so focused on things that are meaningful that serves people. When you do, you master your life and you master the fulfillment of serving and making a difference in other people's lives. That's the legacies that we're here for.
Mm, very nice.
Stress. You know, we've had people on our show talk about stress. And I think that the older that we get, it's not that we are able to manage stress better. I think we just find other ways of relieving the same sort of stress. How do we manage stress time and time again? It's a question of the century, Dr. D.
Well, I'd like to address that and develop that. Because every human being lives by a set of priorities, a set of values in their life, a hierarchy of values, whenever they're doing things that are aligned and congruent with their top highest values, where they're most meaningful, most purposeful, most inspired, and most spontaneous, when they do, they're willing to embrace support and challenge, ease and difficulties, positives and negatives, with resilience and fitness and adaptability in pursuit of what's meaningful to them. When you're doing something that you absolutely are inspired by, you'll embrace pain and pleasure in the pursuit of it. But when you're not doing something that's highest on your value and most meaningful, things that are low on your value are less fulfilling.
Sure.
And as a result of that less meaning and unfulfilling, you tend to look for immediate gratification to compensate for it.
Correct.
And you're wanting a quick, easy path.
Mm.
And when you're not filling your day with challenges that inspire you, according to your highest values, of serving people, because that's the challenge that mean the most, your life is going to fill up with challenges that don't. And when you fill your day with challenges that inspire you, you create what is called eustress. Eustress is a term that's essential for wellness and well-being and longevity. And when you're doing something that's low in your value and you're trying to escape the difficulties and wanting an easy life, immediate gratifying life, an addictive life, you will keep attracting challenges that don't inspire you, and that's what's called distress. So stress has its, you might say, eustress is something wellness, the other is illness.
I like
so you want to fill your day with the highest priority actions you can, because you have the most resilience to whatever happens and adaptability. And when you're doing that, no matter what the environment is on the outside, you are more resilient to handling it and look at how it can be on the way, not in the way. But when you're not, and you're looking and you're not fulfilling your life, you're trying to avoid all challenges and look for the easy path. You can't become a great entrepreneur looking for the easy path. Mm. You do it on the most service path.
So I hear this, and I think innately all of us who are listening, we're agreeing. We're saying yes. I still want to challenge us a little bit, though, because there are going to be those people who are just what's the right word? They're drowning in this quagmire, this lake of, or cesspool rather, of negativity, of struggle, of blame. What do you say to those people who just they want to set priorities, but they don't quite know what priorities to set?
Very commonly, young entrepreneurs, when they go out and start initiating their first business, they have an ideal, and they tend to project it onto society and onto the world and assume they know what the world needs.
Okay.
And as such, they don't always, because of the assumed knowing, listen to the marketplace. When they do, they bang their head against the wall trying to build a business, because when you actually meet the market needs, there's a demand for your supply. When you don't, you're going to try to push it uphill and trying to think, oh, I need to put more money into it, more marketing into it, more everything else in it. If it's not spontaneously selling, there's something you're doing that's not meeting a need.
Wow.
Because it organically grows when you really meet a need. We put out a little message out on Facebook with a little picture. Mm. It went to 200,000 people in 27 hours. Just boom, went out. I put other messages on there that don't meet the needs, and it may go to 10,000 people. So when you actually meet a need, it spontaneously goes. And that's what you want to do, is you want to care enough about humanity to not project assumptions and presumptions onto the world, but to actually humble yourself and to listen carefully to what the actual needs are, and then go and do what you can to fulfill those. And when you do, the market comes to you. Mm. If not, you're always trying to get to the market.
Very, very, very good.
That's
answer.
That's such a point of note when you want to start or create or believe in whatever you want to start creating, you know what I mean? Because sometimes we do it for the wrong reasons, as we have all the time on the show, and we make so many mistakes. But it's not intrinsic, actually, to becoming an asset to society,
exactly.
Dr. Deem.
You know, having negativity, there's two sources of negativity, I found. Anytime you expect other people to live in your values, you're going to be angry and aggressive towards them. You're going to blame them and feel betrayed by them. You're going to criticize them and challenge them. You're going to be despaired and depressed by what's happening. You're going to want to escape them and exit them because they're not living in your values. But they can't. They have their own set of values. They live in those values. They make decisions by their values. And if you don't care enough to communicate what you have to offer in terms of those values, you're going to get those A, B, C, D, E's of negativity.
Mm-hmm.
But the second you expect them to live by their values and sell your product, service, or ideas in terms of those values, you get a completely different response,
that's
and then
so
you're
true.
Now thankful. So if you're having negativity like
that... Can you give us an example of that? Because that's a great point, but
yeah.
Can you put it into
a business term? Well, I've gone out and shared seminars with people, and sometimes I have an idea of what I think the market's going to bear,
okay,
and it doesn't do well. I've made an assumption. I didn't do my homework to get the real needs. And other times, it's just not because of my genius, but because somehow I just hit it. It just floods. And when I look at what it is, one is meeting the needs, and one isn't.
And then go to your point, there's a values alignment.
It's alignment, because people, every decision a person makes is based on what they believe will give them the greatest advantage over disadvantage, greatest reward over risk, to their highest values.
Mm.
In the areas of the brain is actually an assessment. And it basically, like an algorithm, it basically assesses risk-reward ratios of events. We make decisions accordingly. The second we hit those values, they spontaneously open up. If somebody comes up to you and communicates in your values, you feel warm, you feel open to them, and you want to embrace them. And they go and say things that go against it, that you shut down. And people have this assumption that people are ignorant out there. Those people are stupid. They don't know how important my product is.
Mm.
They're not ignorant. They're brilliant in their value system.
Sure.
But you're ignorant, and you're projecting that assumption onto them because you're not meeting their value system and expecting them to do it. The other part of anger is when you expect yourself to live outside your own values.
Correct.
This happens a lot.
Correct.
I've seen people, I've asked people, how many of you would like to be financially independent?
Sure.
Everybody puts their hand up. Even in my talk this morning, I found that. They all put their hands up, and I said, how many are? And they all put their hands down, most of them. Less than 1% keep their hand up. I said, the difference between the 1%ers and the 99%ers is the 99%ers have a fantasy about living the lifestyle of the rich and famous. They don't really have a value on actually building a business that serves people, managing the business efficiently where it's profiting, saving a portion of those profits, learning to invest in ever greater degrees of leverage, accumulating wealth, and having it work for them, and finding a cause that's meaningful to progressively grow that wealth further. The second they have those values, they now don't go out and spend their money on consumables and depreciables that are in other people's brands that make them poor. But they actually build a brand out of massive service for people and build wealth.
I think of so many of the very successful CEOs or founders that we've had here on the show, and how when they speak about what they do, it is rooted in exactly what we're talking about here. A genuine desire to fulfill a need or to create service or be of service. But then again, it comes back to then how do we do that? And it definitely is values driven as well.
Values underlie all human behavior. And I try my best to share that in every program I teach. I don't think you'll ever hear me talk about
something
like that.
We've never heard you talk about that.
It's always
about value.
Because it's the cornerstone of all human behavior. Mm. Every human being wants to be loved and appreciated for who they are. And who they are revolves around their highest value. So if you're a mother, 35 years old, with three kids, and your highest value is those beautiful children, if somebody asks you, who are you? You're going to say, I'm a mother.
Correct.
If you're an entrepreneur with three companies, a serial entrepreneur, and somebody asks you, who are you? That's your highest value. You're going to say entrepreneur. You're not going to say father. You're going to say entrepreneur.
Interesting.
So whatever. And if you ask me, who am I? I'm going to say teacher. Because I spend almost every day of my life teaching.
Mm. Who are you, Gareth?
I don't want to answer that question right now. I want to reflect on what is being said here.
Okay.
Am I allowed to do that?
Okay.
Well, he's just wanted
to know his values.
He's a future CEO.
Amen.
There we go.
Helping people do the same.
Amen.
Zig Ziglar, when I was about 20, 21 years old, I met Zig Ziglar. And he said, if you help enough other people get what they want to get in life, you get what you want to get in life.
Wow.
That's such a simple principle, but it's the key.
Mm.
And I've found six things that are common to the wealthiest people in as far as business. And I've interviewed a lot of very wealthy people. Mm-hmm. One is they feel that they are, by divine providence and human sovereignty, that they are here to serve vast numbers of people. They feel it's just destined.
It's a universal connection of sorts. I mean, some people, of course, don't believe in divinity, but there is a universal something.
They feel it. Mm-hmm. And in the Book of Wealth by Hubert L. Bancroft, he talked about this principle. It's a very powerful principle. I was meeting with the head of Siemens Corporation, and he and his wife were sitting there, and we talked about these principles, and he said, God, that's us. And they looked at each other and they go, that's our life.
Mm.
I said, that's why you've done well. So you if you don't have a desire to build a business that serves vast numbers of people or ever greater numbers of people, why are you expecting to have wealth? Why are you expecting to get ahead?
Mm.
Let me stop and think about it. I've asked people in all over the world, how many of you have ever used Microsoft Windows? Every hand goes up. I said, I wonder why he's a billionaire. Because he's done something that everybody has used. It's been a service to everybody. I wonder what would happen if we brainstormed, instead of talking about how everything's not working and about how the environment's not good and this country's not good and this and that, instead of putting energy into that, I wonder what would happen if all of a sudden we focused on what could we do that would serve the greatest numbers of people and research it and find it and find out how to do it. I watched a gentleman sitting. I was doing a conference and doing a tour through Australia. Went to five cities. There was a guy who was very brilliant, a really IT savvy guy. He was sitting at his computer, and he was doing a search on looking at that moment, around the world, what is the number one search that people are looking for? And he found it. And I was watching over his shoulders. Then he went around the world, and he looked for who is it that provides the answer and the best solution around the world for that. So he searched for that. He then sent a form letter to that person that provides a service and asked, if I drive traffic to you, can I get a cut out of it?
Mm-hmm.
And negotiated 15%. This had happened just a matter of minutes. In the process of doing it, he got a comment confirmation back. He went on there, and he had 5,000 people within 45 minutes going to that site.
Mm.
He knew what he was doing.
Yep.
Now, he's wealthy. He was making about $24 million a year. And the reason why he was doing that is because his primary focus was, what is the greatest need, and how do I get him the greatest service?
Mm.
And joining those together and getting a 15% portion of that. So he didn't have any of he didn't have the skills other than the technology to unite those two people on the internet.
But he recognized what really is at the basis of all of what we're talking about here, which is meeting a need with the best possible product that you can.
That's what he did. That's his skill. That's his skill, finding the need on the internet and finding the solution. Because he was not, he was looking at the problem from a perspective of, what is the problem that I need to find the solution for?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of it, he was sitting sometimes at his own home, sitting there on the computer at whatever hour in the day he wants to do it, and going and making millions.
Dr. D, for those future CEOs who are listening and keep on listening to our show, just for that sense or need of advice for a breakthrough, you know, you've tried, you've tested, you're hanging in there because you believe in your baby, you believe in your vision, but it's just not happening. Breakthrough message.
Well, there's a number of things. It goes down to something you're perceiving or something you're doing. So you always know that you only have control over two things in your life, really: your perceptions, your actions,
mm-hmm.
and really the decisions between those. So you got to look at, is it something you're perceiving? Are you assuming that the world wants something and it's not really perceiving accurately? Or are you really doing what's highest priority?
Mm.
A great exercise that I encourage people to do in business, a very simple exercise, is to write down everything they do in a day.
Okay.
So whoever's listening, tonight when you get home, stop and get a computer out or a piece of paper or something, and write out every single thing you do. And don't make generalities. Really itemize everything you do in a day. And take a whole month's worth of things you do that you might do in a day, and list every single thing you would do.
Hmm.
After that, and that's the first column. You have a 5-column sheet there. The second column is, what does it actually produce? Because when you're producing something, it means you're serving somebody.
Yeah, what is the result?
What is the actual result? And what does it really, truly produce? And estimate that to the best of your ability. I did this, gosh, when I was 28 years old. It was one of the best things I ever did.
So can I quickly just ask, so in what terms are we talking about the result? So are we writing down a monetary amount?
A monetary production.
Okay.
What is it producing?
Okay.
So you estimate it.
Sure.
I did this when I was 28. I was in practice at the time, and I made a list of every single thing that I did. And I got this from a book called The Time Trap.
Okay.
By Alec McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
And I went through there, and I wrote down, and I looked at it, and I realized, if I do this, that generates $15,000 an hour. If I do this, that generates $1,200 an hour. That's $80 an hour. And I put out an estimate of what that actually produces.
So that's column two.
That's column two. The third column is, how much meaning, on a 1 to 7 scale, 7 being the highest meaning, 1 being the lowest, how much meaning does it have? Because many times I do things that I don't get paid for, but they're very meaningful to me.
It connects with your values.
It's so meaningful to me. I had
story of my life.
I had the opportunity to speak to a lovely high school just a couple of days ago, 400 teenagers. I don't necessarily get paid for that, but I get meaning out of it. Because I was almost dead, and I lived on the streets when I was a teenager. And so when I get to touch teenagers' life, it's special to me.
Mm. Of course.
Okay, so then you put a value on how much meaning it has. The next column, the fourth column, is actually, what does it cost to replace somebody to do that? Because if you aren't able to delegate low-priority things, you'll never live an inspired life.
Yep.
So what is the cost of replacement of somebody that can do it equally as valuable as you? And the last one is, how much time is spent. Really and truthfully, put the real time. And don't lie to yourself. Well, really, how much time are you actually spending per week or day on that?
Mm.
If you go through there and look at that carefully, I assure you, I've done this thousands of times, I assure you, you will find out that you're majoring in minor things and minoring in major things. And you will then discover why your business, from a motor component, not a sensory perception to the market needs, but from your own actions, you're doing low-priority things. And every time you do low-priority things, you devalue yourself.
Mm.
And when you devalue yourself, so does the market.
Of course.
You know, I laugh a little bit there because I just know. I just know I'm majoring in minor things. So there are some majors, but I'm sure there are just too many minors to make us really move. Certainly the future CEOs, non-profit efforts.
In my practice 30 years ago, my practice, I started out all by myself. Then I hired me an assistant. Then I hired me another assistant. And I kept building it up. But when I did this exercise at age 28, I had such a difference. When I did that exercise, I found out that the highest priority thing that I could do was actually going out and sharing my mission, my vision, and my message with people out in the world. And what I was doing is generating new patients from that. And so I hired 5 doctors to work and do all the clinical while I went out and generated all the patients, because for 1 hour I could generate more by going out and doing that, by getting new patients, than I could by actually serving them. Mm. And then what I did is I got to prioritize my patients and only work with the celebrities and the people I wanted to work with. They were the highest priority clients, because I could delegate the rest out. If you don't delegate low priority things, you'll trap yourself from ever having an inspired business, inspired life.
Subi, do you know what the time is? It's 8:30. I'm very, very disappointed that we have run out of time with you, Dr. DeMartini, but it has been an inspired, certainly for me anyway, an inspired half hour with you, and we're so very grateful that you've been able to come back and share again with us, and we look forward to seeing you in another couple of months when you're back here in South Africa.
Yes, thank you so much for the time, and thank you for the questions.
I'm just always left so mindful after your experience in our studio.
Can I quickly just so you are here for a short while longer?
I'm here through Tuesday.
Okay.
I'm doing a program called the Breakthrough Experience over the weekend.
Okay.
Which is my signature program where I help people break through whatever is in their way turn it on the way.
And then if people want to get in contact with you,
they can go to drdemartini.com.
Okay.
Just drdemartini, DEMARTINI.com, and they can look on a website and see the events calendar. Or they can contact our office here in Joburg. We have an office in Joburg.
Okay, fantastic. Dr. DeMartini, thank you so very much for being here with us. We appreciate your time. Up next, we are going to be talking what running has taught me about
running my own business.
All right, we'll see you.
Thank you,
right,
Dr.
Thank you.
DeMartini.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.